The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
My next guest novels have sold over 40 million copies in 120 languages. Her work is familiar to TV viewers as well, with The Good Daughter on Sky at the moment, while Will Trent is a Disney Plus staple. Her new novel is called The Secrets We Hide. It's featuring the town of North Falls, and it's just out. Karen Slaughter, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, thank you.
First of all, how typical is North Falls of small town America?
Well, you know, it's pretty typical to the small town I grew up in and the one where I write. But most people don't realize fewer than 20% of Americans live in rural areas now. We're mostly sucked into suburbs and exurbs and things like that. So the small town American life is, like everywhere, quickly disappearing. But I love writing about it because it's such a familiar place to me.
And when it's a small town, everybody knows everybody. If a stranger comes into town, they're immediately spotted as a stranger. But of course, there are secrets even in a small town. And some are open secrets where everyone knows the secrets but doesn't talk about them. And others are actually secrets. And that's at the heart of things.
Exactly. You know, and there's a line in me in the book has that, you know, everybody loves gossip unless it's about themselves. So people do know the histories. And, you know, the thing I love playing with in small towns is you think you know everybody. And of course you don't, because there are things that are hidden out in the open, such as what's happening to Allison Dickery in her house. Everybody knows about it, but doesn't talk about it. And then there are greater mysteries, like the fact that Emmy's sisters Jude disappeared for 40 years and they were told that she was dead and she came back. But because of the family she's with, no one questions that.
Now, the prologue of the book actually reveals the who and the why is yet to be resolved. The who is the victim, that's Allison, but the why and what was happening in her life it unfolds as the novel proceeds.
Yeah, you know, it's the sort of mystery I love telling because it's layered with a lot of character development. So, you know, it's always a real balance when you're writing a thriller to make sure the pacing and the plotting and all that are still there. But, you know, I really wanted to explore the emotional depth of this character and what she's been going through and how that affects Emmy. And the book opens with a murder, sure, but it also opens with a funeral. So you have a real, like a closed-in part of Emmy's life intersecting in a way that she wouldn't particularly enjoy.
Now, when you mention Emmy, you're talking about your main protagonist. That's the sheriff of North Falls, Emmy Clifton, who took on that role after the killing of her father. And people who read the first book in the North Falls series, We Are All Guilty Here, would know what happened there. And Emmy is at the end of her tether, and she's also facing an election to keep her job.
Yeah, you know, the sheriff's position in the United States is an elected position. So it's one of the few positions in law enforcement that has an immediate has immediate contact with the voters. So, you know, the citizens can decide pretty easily if they don't want the sheriff to have that job anymore. It's a little harder to get rid of a police chief. So it's a job that she is trying to win, but she's very conflicted about whether or not she actually wants to do it. And the course of the book, we learn, you know, why she isn't so crazy about that. And of course, how that election turns out.
Now, one of the things that perplexes us on this side of the Atlantic is the extent to which many offices are filled by election, maybe a judge, maybe a prosecutor filled by election. And I'm wondering, does that system, you know, democratic as it may seem, does it serve the people?
I don't think so. You know, it is a problem in these small towns when you give one particular family so much control that they get to say who's in trouble, who's not, or, you know, who's going to jail, who's not. Taking someone's freedom is a very big deal, right? And we're saying to these sheriffs, we're giving you this power. And many of them do a really bad job of it. You know, they play favorites or they weaponize the department against minorities, particularly in very, very tiny towns, you know, not just in the South, up and through the Midwest. So it's a problem all over the country. But I wanted to write about a cop who wants to do the right thing and is doing the right thing.
Now, looking at the way the plot unfolds and the characters are revealed, I'm reminded of the closing line in the movie Some Like It Hot. Oh, well, nobody's perfect. There is nobody perfect. None of your characters are unflawed.
Well, it's true. And, you know, I don't think anybody in the world is completely unflawed. I mean, even Tom Hanks probably accidentally kicked a puppy at one point. So, you know, we all have our secrets. And that's what I love writing about. It's how I grew up. I'm the youngest of three girls. So the only power I had in my family was telling secrets on my sisters. And I was very judicious about when I let them come out. You know, if I got in trouble, I would be sure to point out that my sisters had done something far worse, like, you know, snuck off with a boy, or they were, you know, seen making out at the mall or something like that. So I love that slow reveal of the darker secrets. And of course, since I'm writing a mystery, and I'm talking about the really bad things that happen in the world, it's a lot easier for me to key into that.
But one of the pervasive themes running throughout this book is that of domestic abuse. And I'm wondering, do you think that is becoming more pervasive in the current climate?
I think so. I think there's definitely been a backlash to Me Too. I think, you know, I think we've come around. You know, there was this big movement to believe women. And now I think, yeah, they do believe women. They just don't care. And we're at a point where, you know, there's not a lot of far-reaching punishment, particularly in the United States, when women are hurt or murdered or abused. It's a difficult crime to prosecute, I'll say that. But, you know, you could look at the fact that anywhere from 30-40% of all police officers in the United States have been themselves accused of domestic violence. And it makes you wonder, okay, well, how carefully is this being policed?
Now, you don't write overtly about party politics, but the sense of everybody just about getting by, of a kind of fractured American dream, seems to permeate this book, I think. Or am I mistaken? Am I, you know, conflating some of my own feelings about America on your writing?
No, I don't think you're wrong, but I would say that I think there is disillusion on both sides. And so when I write about the economic struggles or the feeling that, you know, there's this great American manifest destiny, the dream that you can do anything in America and there's only going to be more and more opportunity, a lot of people are realizing that that is limited, that, you know, you might not do as well as your parents did, that, you know, there are different factors that saddle us financially because of the economy or because of whatever. And I think that a lot of anger boils up for that.
You know, sometimes in Ireland, we feel a bit like spectators at a car crash. We're watching it all unfold, but feel there's absolutely nothing we can do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the way we feel in America for the most part.
Do you think we're at a tipping point? I mean, you mentioned the backlash to the Me Too movement, but where it might go either way. I mean, there were uplifting scenes and speeches at the recent opening of the Obama Presidential Library, but equally, the prospect of the next one being opened, it would be more likely to be a glorified hotel than something with books.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it will open. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I think there's a sort of nostalgia that's taking over where people are thinking about what the way things used to be, you know, and some of us are just really hoping that there's some kind of correction in our midterm elections where we get some checks and balances back in place. You know, it is in our Constitution, believe it or not, that the Congress checks the presidency and, you know, there's the judicial system will also check all of these things. So I think we're all hoping for some kind of restoration of that. But I don't think we'll ever go back. I mean, if you look historically at, you know, just the turn of the last century, for instance. You know, we had a worldwide pandemic. We had the stock market. We had a world war. You know, I mean, we're about to have probably another Dust Bowl situation with our farmers here. So we're kind of just repeating history. And, you know, who knows what will happen next, but I'm hoping that for every two steps we've been taking backward, that we get some steps forward as well.
I don't want you to be partisan, but I'm watching a guy called John Ossoff, a senator from afar. You have a much closer view of him. And I was thinking, if Karen Slaughter was ever to write a book about a president of the United States and you were looking to cast him for television, that'd be the man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just accept that he is objectively a very handsome man. He worked very closely and came up with my congressman, John Lewis, who passed away recently and was such an icon of the civil rights movement. So he's definitely put in the work, and I think he's charismatic, and he is very intelligent, and he's all of these things that we usually have on a checklist. But, you know, they say Republicans fall in line and Democrats fall in love. So I think if the Democrats ever fall in love with anybody, it'll be someone like John Ossoff. It's generally a Southerner who has grown up steeped in the church and knows how to talk in the cadence of the church. If you look at Bill Clinton's speeches or Obama's speeches, you know, they're considered some of our great orators. They're definitely schooled in that sort of church speaking tone.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning how many copies of your novels you have sold, some 40 million all over the place in many languages. You're not short of readers, but there is a crisis in reading, I think, with younger people who are, you know, they want a sentence, not a paragraph. They prefer to use a screen rather than the hard covers or soft covers of a book. You're a great advocate of libraries. How healthy are libraries in the United States now?
I think that a lot of our public institutions are really feeling the strain. I do whatever I can to help, you know, with my library charity to help shore them up. But we're definitely feeling that strain. I would point out, though, that my local library, for instance, they don't just have paper books. You know, we have access to digital books. We have audio. We have portable hotspots that kids can take out so that they can use it for school. And, you know, I think people adapt. I'm really more worried about young children not learning to read just because it makes their brain not develop the way it needs to develop. You know, we know from millions of studies that children who read fluently do better in school, they do better at college, they do better at work, they are more productive, they are, you know, have higher levels of critical thinking, and all that wiring takes place when they're children. So if we don't have that step of all these pathways being developed so that children can critically think, then we're losing a lot more than reading for pleasure. We're losing brain development.
Well, I hope it continues. Certainly in this part of the world, we still are avid readers in Ireland. But going back to fiction, I mentioned at the beginning we all enjoyed Will Trent on the small screen. Has it been renewed? Will we have more of Will Trent on telly? And will there be more Will Trent books?
Absolutely. We're going to start filming the fifth season in October, so it'll be on Disney Plus. And not this next book, but soon I'm going to write another Will Trent. I've definitely not stopped writing them. I love the characters. I've got lots of more stories to tell.
And of course, as I've been reading this book, which is absolutely brilliant, The Secrets We Hide, the dynamics of Emmy's own family are unfolding throughout the book. The personal and professional role of her sister, Jude, becomes more and more important throughout the book. So I suspect we will be revisiting North Falls.
Absolutely. I'm working on that new book now, and it will be out around the same time next year. And I hope when it is, I get to go to Ireland again.
Well, I'd love to have you back in the studio face to face, Karen. But for the moment,
Absolutely.
Until next year, thank you very much for joining us on the line from Georgia.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.